Okay, so it starts like a boom, chickaboom.
I said a boom, chickaboom.
At this remote lakeside retreat in North Idaho, camp gets underway just as you might expect. Enthusiastic counselors, campfires, and really silly camp songs. But the campers arriving today from throughout the Northwest have more than toasted marshmallows and mosquito bites to look forward to. Camp Tubalong is all about reconnecting brothers and sisters who've been separated by the child welfare system, despite state policies that make it a priority to keep kids together whenever possible. Siblings often end up apart. Some of these campers haven't seen each other for months or even years.
My name is Matt. I am 14 years old, and I am from Central Oregon.
Matt's here with four siblings who are split across three households.
And I live alone. It's not what I wished for. I wish that we could all be back together.
I thought I might see lots of tearful reunions, but mostly the little kids and teenagers who spill out of the bus wear stony expressions. This is how it always begins, I'm told. Camp Tubalong founder Lynn Price says, listen closely to what they don't say. There's a lot bottled up inside.
In families where there has been strife, more than likely the kids are that much closer. Because while the parent or parents have been having the challenges that they have, it's usually the brothers and sisters that are taking care of each other. And so it's almost like a double hit when they lose their parents and then they lose each other.
Lynn's been there. She and her sister were sent to two different foster homes. Remembering bad times is easy. Lynn wants to give these kids something else to have in common. On day three, the kids spend part of their afternoon making pillows and blankets for their siblings. Each one bears a message. 16-year-old Katie's making one for her sister.
Okay, the whole point of this is to, like, take home something and have it, like, so you have something. And it's just for her to, like, you know, be in her room and read it, you know, when I'm not there or something. And so she knows how I feel.
By now, the siblings are getting used to what it's like to be able to talk without a time limit. And though counselors are always within sight, it's not the kind of adult supervision the kids are used to. Except for me, nobody's asking annoying questions or scribbling notes when they talk.
Okay, and a hush went over the crowd.
It's evening now, and everybody's piled into an outdoor pavilion overlooking the lake.
We are now at one of the, I think, the milestones, the really important parts of camp.
This is Inspiration Night. It's a chance for the kids to stand up and say whatever they want.
Hello, my name is Sam. My sister is right back there in the purple coat. Jasmine, come up here, please.
For more than 2 hours, the kids give each other their undivided attention. And whatever they had bottled up when they arrived, it pretty much gets uncorked here.
My sister, she lives in California. I live in Troutdale, Oregon, right by Gresham. We hardly ever get to see each other, only on very rare occasions. This is one of them. I missed her so much, I hardly even knew her favorite color. And even her favorite animal, which I just learned today, was the same as mine. It's a cat.
Regardless of why they occur, the sibling separations only seem to compound these kids' wins and losses in life's lottery. That's what's on my mind when I go looking for a pair of sisters that I kept noticing all week. The little one always seemed to be cuddled in her big sister's lap, reaching up to touch her hair and kiss her cheek. When I finally meet them, 17-year-old Marina explains that she basically raised Elena from infancy. But after the first year of Elena's life, they were separated.
For the first year, I like cried myself to sleep a lot. I wanted to be with her, but I couldn't because I was too much of a mother to her. Because I wouldn't let the other foster parents take care of her. They didn't want me living with her, so.
There's actually a term for this. It's called parentifying. And it's not a good thing for either kid, but that doesn't make the alternative any less painful. Marina and Elena each bounced from one foster home to the next until about 3 years ago.
And then she was placed with the family she's with now, and they love her. They loved her so much, they wanted to adopt her, so they did, and she's been adopted.
It's a win for 7-year-old Elena, and another loss for Marina. It's now the final day of camp. Jaden, a counselor in training from Portland, likes seeing other siblings reunite like she did with her sister at camp. When I ask what the experience has meant to her, she says it's not something she can put into words. But I ask her to try.
It's like seeing that birthday cake you always wanted that you never got as a kid. And it's right in front of your face. And you get to eat all of it by yourself.
But as with every delicious indulgence, there is the ache that follows.
So you get to see them for a week, spend all the time with them that you want, and then you have to go home and lead your separate lives. So it really is bittersweet. I would definitely say it's better to have the experience and then have it end, because you have memories.
And not just memories. According to Northwest coordinator Karen Schimmels, the experience at camp often changes how kids interact with the child welfare system.
The more campers that go to camp, the more they find their voice, and they go back to their states, and they insist on having contact with their siblings.
By now, the kids have scattered to their cabins to pack up their things. Going back, their bags bulge with those special pillows and scrapbooks full of photos, all of which is designed to help them remember. Some stuff they won't forget.
I can now say that I know my sister's favorite color is blue.
I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson in the woods near Lake Coeur d'Alene in Idaho.